This is Mark Strassman, a reporter with Utopia Media. We're about to speak to Rich Olson, who's the president and CEO of Atomic Falls LLC in North Bend, Oregon. Welcome to Utopia Media.
Thank you, Mark.
Tell us where North Bend, Oregon is exactly.
North Bend, Oregon is on the coast of Oregon, southern coast.
Okay, and where did the name Atomic Falls LLC come from?
We were trying to think up a name for a company a long time ago, and that's just kind of what it came out to be. We were a technology company developing software and providing server co-location out of Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay.
And Atomic Falls was just something that we came up with.
Is it an imaginary place?
Not really. It's just some words we strung together, and it made a nice logo.
Okay. A little like naming a band, I'd say.
Pretty much, yeah. It's hard to come up with company names.
Okay. Now, is this publicly traded, privately held?
Privately held.
Company is it?
It's privately held.
Okay. And anything you want to say about how big you are and what you've been doing before Media Conductor 3.0 came out?
Well, before Media Conductor, we were basically providing server co-location and developing custom applications for various web companies.
Okay.
So somebody primarily database-driven and dynamic-driven sites. We started as basically myself, my wife, and some programmers that I knew and worked with.
Right.
We basically started out developing web applications for a couple of companies, and this was back in like 1996.
Right.
So the web was fairly new, and most websites weren't dynamically data-driven. They were a lot of just basic HTML pages, and we were developing storefronts.
Right.
And, you know, people wanted, there really wasn't much off-the-shelf software, and even to this day, that's kind of where Media Conductor came from. There are a lot of off-the-shelf applications, Perl and PHP and various applications do different things, whether you're trying to stream video or whether you're trying to put a storefront together, a shopping cart, whatnot. There's a lot of applications for you, but most of our customers they would find this application they got off the shelf, so to speak, and it either did more things than they needed, not specifically address their target, or it didn't do anything at all that they needed.
So you've essentially then taken the applications that you were getting the most value out of for your customers and sort of focused on providing that to other people now.
Yeah, basically that's what it was.
Okay. What does Media Conductor 3.0 do, and how is it superior to version 2.0?
Well, Media Conductor 3.0 adds more billing models over Media Conductor version 2.0. 2.0 was a pay-per-view system that we developed. We had a lot of customers that wanted us to set up pay-per-view systems, but and they were all very similar. You know, a lot of these people had videos, box cover scans, that type of thing for navigation.
Right.
And we were developing applications, but they were all very similar, so we decided to make one big application, kind of a platform-type server application that would encompass and do a lot of the things that everybody wanted to do.
Okay, and so, what essentially were the main things that they wanted to do that Media
Conductor
wanted
to do? Well, be able to charge, you know, they needed an e-commerce component so they could charge, and they wanted to offer a pay-per-view, and they needed security to keep people from stealing the videos, the video content.
And generally, what approach did you use to keep people from stealing the video content?
Well, we store the video outside the web servable space, and then use a Java servlet mechanism to deliver it to the end user once they've been properly authenticated.
So essentially there's less of a detailed connection between the video and the user because all of the complicated functions are performed apart from that.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, we were speaking yesterday, and one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today and record it was that you did some research to find out what the relative utility was of doing DRM DRM systems that would download files versus pay-per-view systems that wouldn't download, that would be streaming applications. What did you do and what did you find in that informal or formal study you did?
Well, it was an informal study. Basically, what we did is we took a good close look at companies that were fairly successful on the Internet delivering VOD systems and what types of products they were offering.
For our early listeners, VOD is video on demand.
Yes, video on demand. And right now, there are a few different ways that people deliver that as far as accepting payment for video on demand.
Right.
And one of them is pay-per-view, which is essentially where a customer comes in, they see something they want to buy, they purchase the movie, and then it's streamed to them. So it's stored on the server and not downloaded to their hard drive, but they can watch it many times over a period of time.
Right.
So they might get 30 days, for example, for $6.95 to watch a movie that's stored on a remote server.
So, in fact, the file never comes to their computer.
Well, in essence, technically it does, but it's not stored.
It comes as a bit at a time,
right?
And those bits disappear after they're viewed.
Basically, yeah. They go into a cache, but the cache is limited, so it will be cleared.
Okay. So that means if they want to see it again, they need to have signed up for a program that gives them access to the material.
Right,
they
have to go back to visit the website where they originally purchased it, okay, and then view it.
And what happens with downloaded files as opposed
to... downloaded files are typically encrypted in such a way, like with Microsoft's Digital Rights Management or DRM technologies, and there are several others out there, but what they all do and share in common is that they allow a user to download a file, store it on their hard drive, and after a specified period of time, the file no longer functions.
Right.
So, and it's also bound to the end user's machine in some way, either, you know, by processor serial numbers or something else like that.
So it can only
be they can't trade it on a file swapping network like Kazaa or something like that.
Right, okay. So what did you find were the most successful business models in these dimensions?
Well, in the sites that we looked at, there's also one other way, and that's pay-per-minute,
okay,
which is essentially where somebody comes in to the site, and just like it sounds, they purchase a block of time.
Right.
And then essentially when they're watching a movie, the meter is running. And when they run out of time, they can no longer watch.
So it's sort of like buying script.
Well, what's nice about that is if you have a system where you want to watch pieces of lots of different movies,
right,
you don't want to sit down and watch the whole thing,
right,
then that's a more economical way than a pay-per-view.
Okay, so essentially then people can buy 10 minutes or 60 minutes, and then they log in, and their account is reduced by the amount of time they're watching, and then when it reaches zero, a bell goes off and says you got to buy more or something, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so tell us how people who are going to want to use this can acquire it and how it's installed and what kind of support you provide in that.
Well, with Media Conductor 3.0, what we've done is we've added pay-per-minute.
Right.
We've increased the time limits to just about anything an administrator can set on the pay-per-view.
Right.
And we've added a monthly kind of an all-access pass style membership type option, which is an auto-recurring.
Okay.
So the people, when they buy that option, they can see any and all the movies per month, and there's no other billing involved. So
okay,
somebody might spend $29.95, for example, for a full access to everything that's contained in the Media Conductor system.
Okay, and
that's one of the main differences between version 2.0 and version 3.0 is the addition of pay-per-minute,
right,
and the all-access pass style. We skipped the DRM, getting
right
back to your original question about what we found in our examination of various sites.
Right.
Because most of these sites were offering, the ones that we looked at offered a pay-per-minute, they offered a pay-per-view, and they also offered a DRM option.
Right.
Okay, and looking at, what we did is we looked at where all their sales were coming from. We interviewed some of the people working at the companies, you know, really kind of tried to find out where are these sales, what's the bulk of their sales revenue, what mechanisms are they selling the best. And at every site that we looked at, it was amazingly 90% or more was pay-per-minute. Now, our Media Conductor 2.0 only offered pay-per-view.
Right.
And the customers we had using it were making a profit. They're making money with it. So, you know, the idea here was what would happen with them if we put the pay-per-minute in place,
okay,
and would they do better? And the same thing, the all-access pass is just kind of another option. We skipped the DRM support completely because only 3% of sales were coming from DRM.
Okay. Now, specifically, when people get billed, are there companies out there that provide that service? And,
yes.
And which of them are accessible through Media Conductor?
Well, with Media Conductor, with 2.0, we added support for net billing, authorized net, and merchant partners.
Okay.
These are companies that do online transaction processing for people that have merchant accounts. So if you have a merchant account, you can go to NetBilling, for example, and sign up an account with them, and they charge you a per-transaction fee, and they will transfer the money into your merchant account.
Right.
So Media Conductor has implicit support for those systems in that when you access the web-based admin panel of Media Conductor, you have a payment options area, and you can set up your merchants in there. So
right,
you can say, okay, I want to use net billing, and you put in your net billing login and password, and immediately the transactions from that point on would be passed through net billing to your merchant account. What we've added with 3.0 is the addition of a third-party processor, Paycom.net. Paycom.net essentially will allow you to set up an account, and they charge a percentage for your transactions, but you use their merchant account.
So
you don't need a merchant account.
Okay, so you can sign up with them and essentially use their merchant account and they'll take a percentage of the
right.
The
and in that case, what happens is with Media Conductor, you set up in your merchant settings, you select Paycom as your processor, put in your relevant Paycom information, and then all transactions that are going through the Media Conductor system will be passed to Paycom, where a customer will fill out a sign-up form there,
right.
And then the Paycom will route them back to the Media Conductor system so that they can use what they purchased.
So you're essentially outsourcing your payment function.
Exactly. It's a very popular option these days, especially with Internet transactions. It can be difficult for companies to get a merchant account.
Right.
Especially with it's kind of a catch-22. I was speaking with someone from Visa about this, and
right.
Essentially what it is they will give you a merchant account if you're a corporation and you have a good payment history, but you need to show them the payment history.
Right.
So if you're building a website and it's new, it's never been online before, it's a new venture,
right.
You have to have 3 to 6 months of payment history to show Visa, MasterCard, if you're going to have a merchant account.
That sounds like a classic catch-22 situation.
Well, it is. So Paycom is a good solution.
Right.
They charge a lot more because they're charging a percentage, no more than any other third-party processor, but you know, it's more than if you had your own merchant account, but you need to have that payment history, and the banks will accept a Paycom payment history.
So
it can help you get a merchant account.
So you can do that for 6 months, and if you're a big success, you can then get your own merchant account.
Yeah, as long as you don't end up with a bunch of chargebacks or something like that
exactly.
in the business that you're doing, and everything's going the way it should be,
good.
And you show that you've had, you know, good business practices, then yeah, they would probably give you one.
Now, what kind of affiliate programs get involved here, and how does Media Conductor 3.0 work with an affiliate program?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that one. Media Conductor 3.0 has an integrated affiliate program. That's another thing that a lot of the companies that we were dealing with were doing. They would go out and be piecing together their VOD systems. So
right.
they may buy a streaming engine from Real Media, we'll say, for example, and then they might go out to another company and buy an affiliate program, and then they have to have a designer build the site and tie all these pieces together.
Right. How does an affiliate program in general work in this context?
Well, typically what you do is if you have a website, say a VOD site that you've built, you need to get traffic to it.
Exactly.
And you can do your traditional things. You can advertise and you can buy traffic. But especially new startups, that can be rather expensive and difficult. Plus, you have to test the water, so to speak, and refine your site as traffic comes to you. So one way to really reduce the cost is to do a revenue share with other companies that already have traffic and might be willing to send some to you.
So essentially, you put a link on their page that says, come here to Atomic Falls powered VOD system, and people come through and you give them a little bit money back and
from any sale that's generated from their traffic.
Right.
So of all the payment models that we have, a site that's built with Media Conductor, you have, as an administrator of the Media Conductor site, you can create affiliate accounts for various people, and when you create the account, you can set a rev share percentage, which is a percentage of the gross receipts of any monies generated from traffic referred by that affiliate.
And that can vary, people you like or you don't like or you want to encourage? Or
so whatever, you might start out and do an offer, say 30%.
Right.
Okay, that's a pretty standard deal these days for VOD rev shares. So you might go out to a company and it's 30%. You might have somebody who's a really heavy hitter. You know, they've got a lot of traffic. They have millions of people a day, and you really want them
right.
But they're not happy with the 30%.
Right.
They want more, and you feel they're worth it. So maybe you give them 40% as a special deal. Media Conductor has a way of letting you put that in via, again, a web-based admin panel where you can set it up. It generates a remote link. You give that to the person. They just put it anywhere they want and start sending traffic through.
And essentially the way it's set up, once you've set up your basic system, people who come in from affiliate programs are essentially found money for you, so it's still a winning proposition for you to get 40% of those.
It costs you nothing if they send the traffic through,
right.
And if it generates a sale, you make money that you wouldn't have had if you weren't getting the traffic from them in the first place.
So you're getting that extra 60 or 70%.
And plus, you still get 100% of traffic that you send to
right.
your own system
exactly.
from whatever sources, either you're buying it or, you know, whatever. You're not sharing that. You're only sharing revenues with people that sent traffic, and it tracks it.
Okay.
Media Conductor 3.0 also adds a lot of tracking facilities for end users coming into the system. Media Conductor 3.0 will tell an administrator what IP address a person has come from, what movies they're watching, how many minutes of which movies they're watching, whether it's pay-per-view, whether it's pay-per-minute. A lot of information, and this is all included in the affiliate reports as well. So an affiliate can come in and via web-based password-protected report that only shows them their sales and only shows them their percentage that they're going to be paid out.
Okay. You want to talk about prices or here in this interview, or you want people to come and talk to you about it?
Well, the prices vary. We're still kind of working on our pricing structure,
right.
a lot of it.
What's the range or What? Let's say I want to set one of these up here, and I've got a company that I work with, and they're hosting my sites now. How much would I have to pay you? What would you provide to them? And how ready would I be to go after I had bought your
As a ballpark figure, you could have an entire system set up, installed, running for less than $8,000.
Okay. And you got to write your check, or do you take payment schedules?
We do have a payment schedule that we're working with. This is something we haven't fully implemented yet.
Right.
We're not really sure where it's going to be, but it's probably going to fall somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 a month.
Okay. And how much technical support are you going to provide to people, or are they on their own?
Well, the 30 days post-installation technical support comes with it,
right,
in any package that we sell.
Right.
After that, we offer additional packages that people can purchase for additional tech support. We can also, since we own all of the code, and the one thing that's important about Media Conductor is it started out as a streaming engine.
Right.
So it does real video, Windows Media, MPEG, QuickTime. We can do just about anything, and even if you have a format that doesn't have a streaming engine, we can do it for you, because we do it a little differently. It's more of an HTTP stream, but it's a metered delivered rate, so you get the benefits of a stream, but you don't have the negative in that you have to go buy an expensive streaming server and plug it in and build something around it. Media Conductor gives you everything you need. All you really need to do is add content.
Okay.
And you're ready to go.
You don't
need to buy anything else.
Now, will this system... Now, I've been doing some other reports recently about broadband wireless, about broadband over power lines, and of course there's good old DSL and cable modems. Is this system adaptable? Does it work? Does it support the distribution of streaming video to any and all mobile and stationary platforms? Or,
well, you know, it is an IP-based system, so
right.
It should be able to deliver video. It lets you set video of any size, any rate, any format.
Right.
So you can basically adapt it. Again, because we own all the source code wholly and everything is internal to us, we can make modifications for individual customers if they want them.
Okay.
So a lot of times what we'll do is we've kind of created Media Conductor to be a Swiss Army knife of VOD,
right,
so that you can deliver any kind of system that you want. You can make it look any way you want also. Everything is done on the front side as JSPs, which are essentially HTML pages.
Right.
Very similar to Microsoft's ASPs. All you really have to do is add graphics, change layouts. It can be anything. We have a set look and feel to it, but you don't have to stick to that.
Okay.
And we customize for people as well. So, again, if you wanted to, now the next versions of Media Conductor, we're adding better support for like mobile devices, because we kind of see that coming.
Okay. People want to get in touch with you, what are the options? Tell us phone numbers, URLs, emails, whatever you want.
Oh, sure. They can go to mediaconductor.com.
Okay,
and find out more information about Media Conductor, see a price schedule, and have contact information. They can reach me at Atomic Falls, which is 800-930-2110, or if they're out of the country and the 800 doesn't work, sometimes it doesn't for certain countries, they can contact me for my direct office line at 541-267-6085.
Okay, you want to give them an email too?
Sure, rich@atomicfalls.com.
All right, that sounds like we've covered it. All we need to do now is get some good content, and we're ready to go.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Yep, bye.
Bye.